Today's guest is Marie Lu, the New York Times bestselling author, returns with the action-packed World of Warcross with her sequel Wildcard. Amika Chen barely made it out of the Warcross Championships alive. Now that she knows the truth behind Hideo's new Neuralink algorithm, she can no longer trust the one person she's always looked up to, who she once thought was on her side. Welcome to the show, Marie.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So first, give our listeners an introduction to you. How did you get so interested in the world of technology and gaming?
Sure. Before I became a full-time writer, I used to work in video games as an artist. So that was my first job. I was in the industry for 5 or 6 years before I became a full-time writer. So I always knew that writing a book about games and the world of technology would be in my cards. I just didn't know when I was going to do it. And it wasn't until maybe like 4 or 5 years ago that I began thinking about a world where a game just takes the world by storm and affects our everyday lives. So that was kind of the genesis of the idea.
And how was that to translate like the visual arts to writing?
It was actually very helpful to see things visually in my past job. I do find that I do that when I write now. So I'm a very visual writer. I tend to envision my scenes like a movie, but more like a 3D map. So I will see it as like this 3D thing that I can rotate in my head and, you know, where everybody is, where the landscape geographically is. So I think that does help me orient everything in my scenes, and so it's been a plus, I think.
Yeah, I would think so, because it would help you to sort of plot their next move. It would be for me too. I'm kind of a visual. Yeah. And so do you lay that out? Do you sketch anything like that? The characters?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually do. It's part of my writing process early on. So one of the first things that I do before I start drafting a new story is I will start sketching out my characters just so I can have a better idea of what they look like in my head. I find that if I don't do that, I actually have trouble beginning a story. So it's become part of the process.
Do those characters that you've created, do they sort of help you draw them? So, like, I know some writers say that their voices are heard, and I just wondering if that happens in a visual way.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, okay. And some characters are more distinct than others. Uh-huh. I remember when I was working on The Young Elites, which is my second series, fantasy series, about a girl named Adelina who is technically a villain, and the story kind of follows her downward spiral. She was very, very visceral to me early on. Mm-hmm. Like, she has a very distinct look. She has white hair and white lashes and is missing an eye, so she wears like a mask over half of her face. And I just remember always seeing that in my head early, early on with her and being able to draw her out in that way. They do kind of have a mind of their own. You know,
neat.
their look very much influences who they are as characters.
And I remember that character. I've talked to you before.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, this is so great. Well, I'm so glad to talk to you again.
That is really cool. I do have to, when are there, it seems so futuristic because, you know, Wildcard, it starts out with a lens being put on to, on everybody's eyes. Mm-hmm. And to someone like me, that's totally freaky.
But for it's, me too, yeah.
Okay, so is that something that is like a based in reality or some sort of, you know, something that they're really thinking of doing, whoever they are?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's freaky to think about. I get a lot of messages from readers now who send article links to me about new technology that's coming along that was in Wildcard. And I don't think there's anything in my books that in this series that is science fiction. There are companies that are developing what they call smart lenses, contact lenses that will connect you to the internet and show you augmented reality, you know, over your vision. And, you know, we already have things like the Oculus Rift and HoloLens and other, you know, VR and AR goggles that people can wear. And I think contact lenses are kind of just the next step. And it is unsettling and freaky to think about,
yeah,
you know, that and all of the other ramifications that come with that. When I was finishing up Warcross, my editor sent me an email saying, did you know that Elon Musk is creating something called the Neuralink, which is what it's called in the books as well, a brain-computer interface that connects you, you know, to the internet. And I was like, I did not know that, but now I do, and I'm really disturbed. So it's all kind of coming to pass. Very little of it is actually science fiction.
That's amazing. We're talking with Marie Lu.
Yeah.
She is the author of Wild Card, and this is the final of the two books. It started with Warcross and is now Wild Card, and this sort of wraps up this book series. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Wild Card is the finale.
So what is that? How is that to write a duology and trilogies that you've written? Is there a real different process?
I went into Warcross thinking that because it was duology, maybe it would be easier than writing a trilogy. You know, I always kind of have trouble with the second book in a trilogy because it's the bridge book.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really have like a real beginning or a real ending. And I thought, well, you know, if I write a duology, I just kind of skip the middle book and we just go straight to the third book.
Yeah.
But what it turned out to be was harder, because I realized that book two is actually books two and three combined into one book. So it felt a little bit like I was writing two books at the same time. And I realized, like, oh my God, I can't actually just push, you know, certain plot threads to the next book. There is no next book. So it all had to be expanded upon and then wrapped up in one book. So it actually turned out to be a lot more challenging than I thought it was going to be. But I had a lot of fun writing it still. It was a different challenge.
Do you think that the character Amika will show up somewhere else?
I don't know yet. I don't have plans at the moment, but,
okay,
you know, never say never. I don't like to close off, you know, potential ideas in the future. So it could be very possible that she shows up in a future story. But nothing's planned out so far.
Yeah, it's a wonderful book, young adult novel, A Wild Card by Marie Lu. And this is your 10th book. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah,
Wow. Good for you.
Thank you.
And how long has that been since you've been writing full time and since your first novel came out?
My first book, Legend, came out in 2011.
Okay.
So that is about 7 years. 7 to 8 years, yeah. It feels like not that long ago. It just kind of flew by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many hours do you spend writing and laying things out?
In a typical day, it kind of varies depending on what time of year it is. If I am in full draft mode, which is when I'm writing my first draft, I will probably write maybe 5 or 6 hours a day. That's about as much time as I can spend writing before I kind of burn out on creative energy.
Mm-hmm.
There are some weeks where I don't write at all. If I finish a first draft, I kind of like to let it sit for a while in my head before moving on to revising it. Mm-hmm. But at any given time, I'm usually working on more than one project. So if I'm in revisions on a book, I'm also first drafting something else. And so I kind of switch on and off depending on the project.
That's interesting. How do you keep those things separate?
It can be a little tricky at times, especially when it's two books that are in the same series. So, mm-hmm, for example, if I'm revising book one, I'm probably drafting book two. And I have to remember when I'm at events what's in book one and what's in book two, so I don't accidentally spoil people. with where I'm at. So it can be a little challenging. I try to separate the projects by the time of day, so I'm not, hopping back and forth in the same hour or anything. I'll maybe work on one project in the morning and then, take a break and then work on something else in the afternoon. That kind of helps me keep it straight.
Why do you think your stories like this, that explore the consequences of technology and that sort of thing, it resonates so much with your readers?
I think that, my books are officially designated as young adult books. Mm-hmm. And, while that doesn't really mean all of my readers are young adults, mm-hmm. I think a sizable number of them are fairly young, and especially in this day and age, they're growing up in a world that is absolutely saturated with technology. Mm-hmm. I can't begin to imagine what that's like, growing up never knowing what it was like before, social media took over,
yeah.
or the iPhone or the iPad. And so it's a constant presence in their everyday lives. And I feel like their lives are just so, so, so different from mine. When I was growing up, I remember the world before the internet, I remember what it was like to have to go and, if you needed to know something, you just didn't know what it was until you went to the library or mm-hmm. read an encyclopedia or something, and now you can just pick up your phone and Google just about anything.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that a lot of young people think about all the time, the progress of technology and how fast it is and how immediate everything is now. It must be overwhelming to be a young person these days. So I imagine that it's just one of those things that young people think about constantly in their lives.
I feel sorry for them in certain ways because mm-hmm. they don't have that disconnect from the electronic mm-hmm. world because they've never experienced it like we have. And mm-hmm. where you went over to your friend's house, you didn't text mm-hmm. them. You actually had a conversation with your friends. You mm-hmm. hung out together and actually talked or played, not sitting there with an instrument in your hand. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
It was a very different time, yeah.
It is. It is. And mm-hmm. as really your book, I find it enjoyable too. And I'm way past that young adult age, but yeah, absolutely. And, it's an interesting, it's a good book. And I love the way you put it together. The other thing that I think about is because of my age and knowing that this is for young adults, have you thought about, specifically writing for older audiences or even little children?
Mm-hmm. I've definitely thought about it. I don't think I've had the ideal premise yet, but mm-hmm. It depends on what comes up to me next. But I would love to try my hand at writing something in adults one day or in picture books. I do find that the younger the audience category goes, the harder it gets. So I'm very intimidated by middle grade voice. I think it's a very specific type of voice required to write an authentic book for ages 8 to 12. I would love to write a picture book someday. I've been wanting to write a picture book forever. It would be a chance for me to illustrate and write something at the same time. But I find picture books to be one of the hardest things in the world to write. So it's just, I can't wrap my head around the idea of telling a story in such short space. It's like writing poetry. So it's something that I would love to tackle, but I definitely have to practice a little bit first. And the same goes for adult. I think the adult voice is also a very particular thing. And I think it just depends on if the right idea comes along at the right time. Yeah, but I would love to do it.
All right. Well, Marie Lou, thank you so much for your time, the author of Wild Card. And as you had mentioned, that you're usually on the draft of another book. So what do you have next in mind?
Yeah. Thank you so much. I am currently juggling a couple of projects. Next fall, 2019, I have a companion novel coming out to Legend, So it will be a sequel to the Legend Trilogy, book four, technically. Huh? And then in spring of 2020, I have a standalone, my first standalone book coming out. It's called The Kingdom of Bach. It's a historical fantasy, and it's about Mozart as a child and his sister and their life. Yeah, and I'm very excited about that. It's also very, very different from what I usually write, so I'm a little anxious. And then I have a new science fiction fantasy series coming out in fall of 2020 called Sky Hunter. So those are the projects that are currently juggling around, yeah.
Oh, you've got a lot going on. That's great. And what that Mozart thing, that's got to be really interesting because that's a complete leap.
It is, yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, I'm having a good time with it. Hope people like it.
Well, then I guess I'll be talking to you again.
I hope so. That would be so great. It's always such a fun time with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Marie. I appreciate it and wish you the best.
Thank you so much. You too.